Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, big issues, big guest. I think he was down the street. He was in Mulligan's. Everything good happens in Mulligan's. Bob Brady comes into the place.
A hush comes over.
Yeah, I think it was the last Mulligan's. He had the suitable, he had great resort attire on.
Do you know who that is?
And yeah, did a big interview. That's right around the time that Bob Kelly said drinks for everyone at the bar and there was mayhem. I don't know if that'll happen again. So Bob Kelly attends every time this year. I bet one out of three there's that happens. But anyhow, Bob said he wasn't supportive of what was going on at that point, where this was going to lead. And he talked about the Comcast people and these designs to make it kind of a show place down there. But no one knew after this bill was signed that this might happen. And we played you the news conference with Sherelle Parker and the presidente of city council. Let's go to Bob Brady on Talk Radio 1210. Bob, Happy New Year. We haven't spoken. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and your family. Good, healthy one.
Well, Bob, you seemingly were involved in this, right, behind the scenes? Because that's what I, the hint I got down at the shore.
A little bit. You know, well, friendly with, I'm friendly with Comcast, naturally, and I'm friendly with David Adelman. So, you know, I talked to both of them, and, you know, it's, hey, it was a tough negotiation, but let me tell you, we are better now today in the position that we have than we were yesterday. We now have, we'll now have a stadium district where everybody can get to very easily. Don't worry about the traffic and all the parking. It'll be adequate for parking. It'll be adequate for getting back and forth to it with public transportation, even from the city, even from Jersey and the suburbs and inside the city of Philadelphia. We have our major teams there looking for the, for a women's NBA basketball team come in, you know, and we're, and then they're also committed to doing the fashion district Market East. So I mean, we're better today than we were. It's just we had to go through that process. It was an exhausting process, and people had to get up and vote. And I guess a couple of them got a little disturbed that they had a, they voted for something that didn't come to fruition. But hey, that's politics. But again, we're better today than we were. And then Chinatown's happy. I mean, this is like a win-win thing for everybody. Chinatown well, residents are happy, you know.
Well, Bob,
are happy.
Okay, I got you. But a couple of flies in the ointment. Is there, all right, who pay? Is there any taxpayer money at all to your knowledge involved?
I'm told no. I'm told there's no taxpayer money involved. Not sure there's no taxpayer money involved in the stadium. They're doing it themselves, the sport, the stadium district. And I'm also heard, and I believe that there's no, won't be any taxpayers' money between Comcast and the Sixers of revitalizing Market East. That's their commitment.
Okay. So making fools, though. Some of you say, I guess you say that if you were in that position, though, Bob, you know, the mayor that we played these wasn't even involved in the negotiations on this. That's kind of strange, isn't it?
I don't know how that. I kind of know a little bit how that happened. Maybe some figuring. You know, it wasn't done properly. About, I understand the demolishing of it. They couldn't implode the building because there's an underground there. And I guess maybe the people came to. They kept talking to each other. They came to a better agreement. It's a 50-50 process. You know, the difference. The main thing with the Sixers is they couldn't control their own schedule. They had to get seconds after the Flyers because, you know, Flyers owned it and Flyers have priority right on their schedule. So they fixed that. Now they're 50-50. So I guess they must have thought about it and figured it might be cheaper and easier. And they reevaluated everything and it came to a conclusion to stay back in the complex, have a nice stadium, district stadium complex, which is a good idea in my mind anyway. Then no problems with the, there was no problems with the parking now. There's no problem with the access, with the transportation. And then again, Chinatown's intact. And they still have the commitment that they're going to, with no city funding, that they're going to do a Market Street East, the fashion district, that they're going to revitalize that area there. So we've got a new stadium. We've got a new facility with the complex stadium district. And we have Market Street East, the fashion district, being revitalized. And I mean, it's a win-win thing. And then you also have the residents in Chinatown that are jumping up and down. I think I can hear the fireworks coming up from where I'm sitting now.
So, Bob, take me inside this now. You know me a little bit, right? I am a big sports guy, very competitive, particularly basketball. But don't we bend over? You've been in these negotiations. I mean, why sports? Can you? There's just such a feel that people would knock Democrats out of office if they didn't keep him here. Isn't that the bottom line?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think that sports fans are Republicans too. I think that it's an outlet. Sports are something that everybody enjoys and loves, especially at this time right now with the Eagles. God bless them. Go Birds. That the Eagles are doing well, and we had a great season with the Phillies. Looking forward to another great season. And people just familiar themselves with it, you know, and it's just something that, you know, sustains the city of Philadelphia. I mean, look what happens if the Super Bowl, if we have a Super Bowl again. I mean, if the Phillies go to World Series again. I mean, come on, you know, it just revitalizes and puts everybody on in a happy state. I mean, today we're really happy. All right, the Eagles didn't do as well as we thought they would do as far as the game they played, but they won.
Right,
and now we're
exactly.
going to see, you know, and people are fired up over that, you know, and everybody can relate to it. And we certainly don't want the Sixers to go to New Jersey. I mean, we really don't want that.
Yeah, but Bob, now come on, you're a master negotiator. You don't see that as a bluff. They're really going to put stake down in Camden. I taught in Camden before I got into this. There's no way I could see the Sixers in Camden. How realistic was that?
I don't think it was realistic, but it was a tool that they used, and it could possibly happen. I mean, they moved their – I was surprised and pretty upset about the fact they moved their training facility over to Jersey.
Right.
You know, that bothered me a little bit. And I was part and parcel big time with the Flyers. Remember years ago, the Flyers were threatening to move to Jersey too. And actually, to be honest with you, what I said to them at the time when I was in Congress, go ahead, goodbye, see you later. And they blinked. There's no revenue there. I mean, you can't imagine people going over to Camden to watch the Sixers. I mean, it's going to happen, you know.
Exactly right.
One of the things they talked about, they talked about doing that, and people get nervous about that. You never know. Sometimes these sports people, the bottom line was we had the governor over there in Jersey passing, giving out a piece of land for nothing. I mean, they were really opening up their arms and letting them do whatever they needed to do and give whatever they wanted to have over in Camden. And that's the last thing we wanted to have happen, you know. Although I don't think it was real, but it's still on the table. You know, it's still threatening. You know?
One more area, too. Okay, we see the Democrat Party in the wake of the election now, right? And we had you on. You were good enough to come on after Philadelphia and all that. And you were right about more of the Harris campaign than your efforts. But overall, we see someone like Fetterman now, who is a contrarian, and he's saying a lot of interesting things, at least to me. Yet we still see elements who just don't want to work with Trump in any way, shape, or form. What are you hearing in Democrat circles now as far as strategy to reach out to people and to come back a bit?
Well, he's the president of the United States, and we live in the United States. He's our president. And look, he has some ideas that a lot of us don't get along with, but that doesn't mean we can't try to work with him. We can't try to work together. As you know, I mean, I work with Republicans. I mean, Republican speakers, the last three speakers are my dear friends and the last Republican speakers. And we get along, and we get along with our Republicans in Congress. I did then, too. Michael Meehan, God bless him. He's not doing too well. My prayers go out to him. We meet every election day, you know. Republican chairman at the time, and we try to get along, and I think that we should try to get along. Fetterman dances to his own little beat, you know, and I mean, I really liked him when he really stood up for Biden, you know, and then he went off again on something else, you know, beating up our governor to become a vice president candidate. So I don't really understand some of his politics, what they are, but look, he's a senator, a United States senator. He's now, I think, as we speak, is in Mayor Largo, which is okay. He should be probably doing that. And if he's doing it for the benefit of the constituents that he represents, Democrat or Republican, then that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you for coming on, as always. We'll see you on Inside Story. And again, the interesting development, you were way ahead of the curve on this.
I appreciate you. Thank you. You stay well. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Bob, and your family. Thank you. Bob Brady here on Talk Radio 1210. All right. So the spin, thanks, Dan, for that sound, was unbelievable with Sherelle Park. I've never heard her meltdown like this. And she has to sit there with the city council president. I'd love to get Kenyatta Johnson on. He only came on once before. So we'll make a try. Just the scripture. Do you like that? 855-839-1210. Soon as I hear somebody say that, I'll tell you my initial reaction. Stop it already. I'm not believing it. You're covering up. Well, God told me this today when I open up my scripture. Yeah, Josh Harris wasn't praying. He was telling you what to do here when he tapped you there, Council President. You guys did what the Sixers wanted here. And if it's the Eagles, I would understand the difficulty. If the Eagles threaten you with anything, now will they in the future? Will they say, well, we're going to need more here? 855-839-1210. It comes back to this thing. You just heard Bob say, how likely was it the Sixers would go to Camden? Of course they'll threaten that. And then we would be told, oh man, whatever, rolling into Camden's going to be completely safe. You can go to Camden now and everything's going to be completely safe. Just like SEPTA was going to be. Stop it already. All right, hit us on the side question. We're looking for a rags-to-riches story, real or fictional, at 855-839-1210. Coming up, Bob Brady just mentioned Joe Biden. We're seeing the exit interviews of a sort, although he doesn't do it with the full media. Great column today. Who's the face out of all these characters that we've seen in the 4 years of Biden? Great column at National Review. I'll tell you who they say it is. And it's somebody who we're familiar with here in Pennsylvania. And it's somebody who's a perfect example of how radical these years have been and incompetent. All straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. So who's the face of the Biden years? The National Review pegs it beautifully. Rachel Levine. That big picture of her with the mask on, the whole thing. Joe Biden is spending the final weeks of his presidency desperately trying to forge a positive legacy. But one of his appointees may have already helped define it for him. And they go on to talk about a recent interview Rachel Levine did on NPR. NPR listeners learned that Levine is a pediatrician with a specialty in adolescent medicine. They did not learn, though, that Rachel Levine, while here in Pennsylvania, put COVID patients into nursing homes. Pennsylvania had surpassed 12,500 nursing home deaths, was the largest state where nursing home and care facility deaths accounted for over 50% of statewide COVID fatalities. All this while he removed his own 95-year-old mother from a nursing home. Levine's parting incompetency even failed the vaccines he cares so much about, leaving to his successor the role, a COVID vaccine distribution program. Remember that? How messed up it was, particularly here in Philadelphia. They go on to say, once confirmed into the Health and Human Services position, Levine became the latest symbol used by the progressive commanding heights of culture to advance the most radical claims of the transgender movement. So, yeah. I think that's a good pick. The face of the Biden years, these 4 years, Rachel Levine. Now, you might think the French woman who's the press secretary is a pretty good second, but it kind of summarizes exactly what's been going on here over these 4 years. 855-839-1210. You heard Bob Brady. You heard some from the news conference. And the spin. Does it bother you when someone, not once, but twice in the middle of this, starts citing scripture? Stop it already. Just stop. You know, you may or may not be real. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of hearing that stuff. I'm the one that is just honestly wanting religion to have its proper role, not these phony politicians who engage in this to cover their tracks. When once again, they're knuckleheads used by these corporate entities. The Sixers are going to go to Camden. Come on now. Well, what if they did? Yeah, well, so what? They can threaten you with anything. You got to be kidding me. It's not the Eagles. The Eagles threaten you with stuff. That's a tougher call. But I'd love to hear from you. I think most people are on board with it. I think most people say, give these sports teams what they want. What's the reason for that? Why this entity versus other entities? It's fictitious that it actually generates a lot of economic development. Isn't it that people want it? I understand that. There is a hometown thing. Would it be different if, say, a team moved to Jersey? I mean, they do that in New York. It has nothing to do with anything. They're still the New York Giants. Any number of these entities don't play inside the city limits. They're suburban. I don't know about most of them, but it seems to me up and down the line they are. So why is there such a fear over this that they get caught up going down this path? All right, Judge Cannon, remember Judge Cannon in the Florida case, is going to release the Jack Smith report. She had balked at it before, but now going to release it. So we'll let you know what it says in there around President Trump. Ultimately, this stuff doesn't matter. All they have is he begins his inauguration is the fact he has a title of felon president. That's all that they wanted out of this. And we'll see what Jack Smith has to say. 855-839-1210. Let's go to Charlie in Orland on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Charlie, good afternoon.
Hi, Dom. How are you?
Good, Charlie.
If the Sixers want to go to Camden, they certainly can go. Goodbye.
How about the Eagles, though?
Oh, no, the Eagles got to stay. The NFL has got to stay.
See what I mean? The Eagles are being good corporate citizens in a sense here. They're not asking for more billions. They might at some point, but the Eagles could drive a hard bargain. Yeah, why the Sixers, though?
Why the Sixers? I lost all interest in professional basketball.
Yeah, look, I hear you, Charlie. I mean, I'd call their – if I were sitting in the room based upon what you and I see, I'd call their bluff. They don't have the leverage. They don't have the upper hand. They go to Camden. More people are not going to go to their games. They're not – they haven't gotten past the second round anyhow. They don't galvanize the city. It's not like the Eagles or Phillies. They're way behind in third place.
Yeah, I used to go to Camden all the time to watch the Camden Bullets.
Okay.
Actually, years ago.
Well, that might be an appropriate setting for Camden, but okay.
That's about it.
What is your rags to riches?
Question?
Yes.
Jed Clampett. Oh, and the Beverly Hillbillies. They went from Hillbillies in the Ozarks of Missouri to Beverly Hills.
All right, very nice. Texas Tea. Yeah, exactly. The whole Beverly Hills Billies thing. But why this? These guys must sense it, politicians and others. They're afraid. Plus, there's insider. God knows the stuff that goes on with this. The whole quack of people that buy this stuff now. Wow. We got all these jobs. Chinatown's fine. And everybody's happy. The Sixers are going to stay in Philadelphia. There's not a groundswell for the Sixers in that regard. People that love sports watch, yes. But there's no groundswell if they happen to leave and go across the bridge. That's not going to work. The Eagles, it would never happen. They'll give them anything they want. And I understand the rationale for that. It is beyond belief. I don't know that there's any phenomena. And it's not just the NFL. It's specifically Philadelphia and the Eagles that are wedded beyond belief. And it gets more staggering every single day. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned it at the top of the show, but the guy that we talked about last week in California that was here with the blowtorch, remember, subdued citizens arrest. They said they couldn't charge him with probable cause. He's on a bike with a giant blowtorch in an area, Pacific Palisades, that has been incredibly hard hit. His name, according to news reports, is Juan Manuel Sierra Levi, identified as an illegal immigrant from Mexico, arrested with the blowtorch in Woodland Hills, right there near Palisades. Residents subdued him after witnessing him allegedly attempting to ignite fires. So here's a guy here, again, California, and I asked Alan West about this. They want $250 billion when the dust settles here, something like that. Are you on board with that? And Republicans saying, well, we're going to attach strings to it, one of which is to get rid of the debt ceiling. I don't want to get rid of the debt ceiling. I just think this is crazy talk. That's the last thing that we want to do. And give them $250 billion. How are you going to impact them? What strings could you place on it? They're not going to do that. They're progressives. They want to run California in that manner, and they're elected again and again and again. It's going to look inhumane if you say, yeah, well, the strings are attached to this, and then we'll give you the money. But obviously, based on their policies, why would we fund this? You do have the human element. What are these people going to do that were burned out? What are they supposed to do? California had knocked away insurance companies, made it more difficult. By the way, the other thing that the Trump people are even talking about that I'm dead set against, and sadly it affects listeners in Jersey, the salt tax, you know, the state and local taxation, they want to up how much you can deduct. So Jersey, New York, California, what do? They put in enormous taxes on people, and then people in Pennsylvania and other states are supposed to pay for that by giving them a federal tax break. They're never going to stop adding to that. They'll always go spending unless they have pressure to stop it. But apparently the Trump people even are looking at this. It's a non-starter. We've been through this before. All right, Alan in Hamilton. Alan on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Alan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'd like to nominate Booker T. Washington as the ultimate in the Horatio Alger rags to riches idea.
All right. Why? Tell us why.
Well, think of it. He was born into slavery in 1806, and he rose by 1915. To be the leader of the Negro race in the United States.
Yeah, well, Booker T. Washington is one of those fabulous American success stories, without a doubt. Okay, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. So the whole Sixers matter after all this. I haven't seen the Inquirer, some of the others. I haven't seen any dissent other than the Working Families Party. But what a joke. They use all these people politically, and then these people, for their own reputation, have to tell you that everything was great here. We came out so much more ahead in this. Why this entity? Why sports? Try doing that with some other entity, and what do you think people would say? No, these are just billionaires getting wealthier. That's all this is. Why should these why are the other billionaires or millionaires the ones with? That's bad. Go after them. They deserve punishment almost for being that wealthy. But when it comes to sports billionaires, we'll put up with them because this is what people want. Big time pro sports, particularly the NFL. Could Philadelphia be a first class city without the Eagles? The answer is no, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be seen as that. It would be seen as lesser. It would lose any kind of cachet. You just can't do that. I remember when Baltimore lost their team. And you got to put another franchise in there. That's the way that it works. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line coming up. What is the secret quality you need to have that I think at least 50 or 60% of people listening right now have in order to help out with the National Archives? Wait until you hear what they're looking for and how few people they think have it that are, say, under 40. And it's a pretty simple thing. 855-839-1210. Hey, I've got an important question to ask you. Are you planning to sell your home in 2025? The housing market is changing fast, and it's not what it used to be. But my great friend, Diane Cardano from Cardano Realtors, wants to help you stay ahead of the shifting real estate market and increase the value of your home. Put this one into your calendar. Diane is hosting a free breakfast seminar Saturday morning, February 1st at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington. Diane will show you how to tackle today's uncertain market with rising inventory, fluctuating interest rates, low-cost ways to stage your home. She's the master of that. And lots of other insights. I'll be there that morning. It's always a great time to meet all of you and get Diane's advice. Plus, she'll be signing copies of her new book, Model Home Mindset. You don't want to wing it when selling your home. Diane Cardano does all the homework and gets your home sold for top dollar. All you have to do, it's free, all of this. RSVP now, call 215-576-8666 or visit 215-576-8666.com. I'll see you with Diane over at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington on February 1st. All right, Tom Giordano Show. All right, so what is the secret power, because it's fallen so much out of use? The National Archives is looking for people to read documents, not necessarily of the highest order, but documents and transcribe them, essentially. And the skill they can't find enough people with, these are volunteers, is cursive. Apparently, not just the ability to write it, but the ability to read it.
Why do you need it?
Why do we need what? Cursive?
Cursive.
Oh, my goodness. This is like, you know, this could be a side question. Things that we think we don't need.
Like, why? We write without lines connecting. Perfectly fine.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
I just talked myself into it because
that was fast.
Well, reading cursive, I guess, is an important skill.
Yeah,
writing cursive, who the heck cares? If kids know how to write cursive.
You have to do your signature first of all. Then
you have to know how to write it, right?
Yeah.
Shut up, Dan.
Henry, were you joining in on that or no?
No, I think everyone should know how to write cursive, even if it is frivolous and kind of dumb.
It is.
So you didn't have cursive in school?
No, I did.
Okay, yeah.
Dom, do you write cursive?
But I thought it was stupid the whole time.
It's scribble, but yes.
Read cursive is what's important.
Yes, right? I write it, too. I mean, okay, so when you're writing a personal letter.
Right, so yes.
What are you going to do?
I didn't want to take direct shots,
yeah.
But both your wife and my mother have beautiful handwriting because they're...
Right.
And my wife, to a degree, too. Because of Catholic school, and they were taught to write fantastically because they can handwrite absolutely beautifully handwritten letters in cursive.
Mm-hmm.
But when you receive one, it's nice, right?
Oh, God, he's just, this is
But do you really judge the person if the person sending it didn't write it out in cursive?
Some things are so important or so heartfelt or whatever, I think you got to write it out.
Look, my handwriting is awful, whether it's in print or it's in cursive. So whatever you're getting from me, if I sent you a letter, that should be good enough. Whether no matter
so what
how
you,
it's
what
written.
Form are you putting in? You're typing it. It's essentially
no.
Okay.
No, but if I'm writing, when I say print,
I'm
like
not writing
print versus
any
cursive. Like I'm printing the letters. I'm not. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not. Yeah, I'm usually going to write it in print because my cursive is just as ineligible. Illegible. Like. You can't read it.
I still think the nice cursive is
more. When was the last time you wrote more than 100 words in one sitting?
In the last couple of weeks.
No, really?
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember the last time I sat down.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me, it's laborious because, sometimes you can't read my handwriting on checks even.
Yeah.
So what do you do with checks? Oh, we don't have checks. Venmo, PayPal.
You're right without
cursive. I can't remember the last time I've written a check out.
Not even a check now. Who's picking up the check? We're not doing any of that. Nobody's writing anything here.
But do you write your checks in cursive?
Sure.
Sign them.
Well, I guess, the signature.
The amount and who it's to.
But I don't do the amount in cursive.
Well, you have to, right? I thought you had to write that.
It's
got to be legible,
it.
So I can't print it in cursive.
Oh, you're talking about when you write it out.
It might be fraud, then, if it's printing. No, Dan Rowe has, but Luke's is beyond belief. His is this tiny, beautiful stuff. It's annoying beyond belief.
Yeah.
DJ takes paper plates and scribbles stuff on it and gets another one, ideas.
But the amount of time, real estate that we can teach these kids how to write beautifully can't be spent elsewhere.
Well...
Programming, coding on the computer,
If you would Google it, you would see. Now, I was skeptical of this. This came up, this conversation 20 years ago. It started, this whole thing. How much scientists, psychologists, and others say higher order skills are related to cursive? There have been umpteen studies, and they don't seem to have an axe to grind. They believe it. Don't you remember we had the guy on that once cursive taught in school in Pennsylvania?
Like understanding historic documents, yeah.
Right.
But, like, we're not still teaching kids to replace their S's with F's.
Okay.
And we can still read the Constitution, you know?
You think they can read as well, though, if they don't understand cursive? It's not just a reading skill. You got to practice it a little bit. I must be in a different universe where cursive is not readily available every day. But National Archives are saying cursive falling out of use. They want people to volunteer to read these documents. And again, they're not Washington necessarily. They could be lesser figures and transcribe them. All right. Somebody bail me out here. Henry's at least
once they're translated, yes. Do you really need to still know how to, you know, read cursive?
Yeah, of course. I just told you, the higher order skills.
Okay.
I don't know. All I know is that when I had to write cursive, I just couldn't wait to not write cursive anymore. Whatever, K through 8th grade, they're like, cursive, cursive, right. Cursive. As soon as they're like, you don't have to write your notes in cursive, I went, okay, I'm not doing that for the rest of my life, and I still haven't.
Look, I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying I'd rather my kid learn C++ or a programming language than have to...
Well,
you know,
they can do
learn
that
to write fancily.
Yeah,
person.
I mean, there's a lot of other things I would knock off in school. So let me throw it out this way. These two guys right here, varying degrees, you don't need cursive. We don't need cursive in school. Stop it already.
I don't think it should be maybe as hammered down on me as if it was hammered on me for like 9 years, no. But like to be able to learn it, just to, you know, have it in the back pocket, yeah,
no,
that's
instead
fine.
You were hammered
but don't
for nine
spend,
years.
Yeah, don't spend this inordinate amount of time in English class. Really hammering down.
I don't remember, even in Catholic school, that it was that many minutes of a day.
When they taught it, I remember it was like the first thing we'd do every day, every morning. That was the first thing we'd do for like, full first period, maybe even second period. And then, just going from there, it was just everything.
Well, to my advantage, my handwriting is beyond horrible. If captured behind enemy lines, you wouldn't be able to decipher it.
I didn't want to say it, but
it's
happy
beyond.
Self-admitting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know
self-reporting.
And I try. I actually have to try to write backwards. I have
terrible.
To start forming. That's the only way I do it.
I honestly don't know. You might be top three all time in my life, people I've experienced handwriting being the worst.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I would agree.
Yeah.
And it's not like
up there with my dentist and my doctor.
Trying. Yeah, I'm not a doctor and I can't. That's another thing.
List.
All right, medical errors.
No.
How do doctors get away with it? You know, things can easily be transcribed wrong. Why do we joke about doctors that you can't read what they're writing?
Bob on YouTube says this generation can't even sign their name. It's crazy.
That's right. So, there are people that can't. What do you mean, Simon? They don't even have the concept.
When
of
my brother first got his license, even though he knows cursive, he hated it so much that he printed his name on his license.
Well, but that's an invalid license.
Then when he had it in his hands, he was like, oh, this looks terrible. So whatever, the first 4 years of having a license, he just had to shamefully carry it around.
Journalistic expert, my father says, teach AI to read cursive and problem solved, you know?
Oh, man, that's okay. AI to the rescue of another failing. All right, 855-839-1210, you get on board. Do you know cursive? It's amazing to me that the National Archives has to ask for people to step forward to read these documents and transcribe them, that it's that much of a lost skill. It's the same thing with cash in your pocket. It's another round. It's just amazing to me that it's a convenience to have cash in your pocket.
I need the cash a lot more than I need the signature.
Well, right, yeah. Well, true.
Look, the only time I'm going to need the signature is if I'm signing for a card. So if I have cash,
well,
renders cursive moot.
Yeah. All right, 855-839-1210. The idea of cursive, we've been down this path. Is this just one of those conservative, you know, they come back to it. We had the guy on just 6 months or so ago, a year, has a bill in the House demanding cursive somewhat in schools. And you would think people would go for that, but maybe not. Maybe the argument is, why do you need something like this? Just like, why do you need cash in your pocket? I think there's a whole array of other things that don't make sense to me. It's almost like gone out of your way of something that's small to do, allegedly to be more convenient. All right. Let's go,
go to Chris. This is a crazy story. I was just screening here. But yes.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump
on. Yeah, good. No, that's all right. That's where I was going. Let's go to Chris in South Jersey. Hey, Chris, bail me out. I need some help here.
So they do not teach cursive anymore. My daughter had a fourth grade teacher that gave her a book when she asked to learn cursive. She gave her a book and said, here, teach yourself.
Wow.
She then went to high school. We live in a rural area where we do not have internet. We don't even have a home computer. We only get internet on our phones. She had a report due. We don't have a home computer. She wrote out the report in cursive, handed it in, and the teacher gave it back to her because the teacher could not read it.
Oh, and made her do it my God. How is this possible? What world are we in? The teacher couldn't read cursive. Murphy would probably be over there to give her a special recognition award. My God.
There you go. It's South Jersey. It's a teacher with the NJ.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Education,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, that's what we live with in South Jersey.
What do you say to my two producers making arguments? We don't need any stinking cursive. Come on.
What is wrong with learning it? It's just like learning history. It's required. You just do it. And like you said, they can't even sign their own name. My granddaughter can. And my granddaughter... And wait a minute. Do you all know how to fill out a check? Because I know an awful lot of people that can't even fill out a check. My granddaughter knows how to fill out a check.
Well, I hope if she gets married in the future, she's not writing that many. That's a thing. I wish she couldn't fill. Bro, I wish she couldn't. I wish she couldn't write cursive. Stop her.
She can write cursive, but she writes it beautifully.
Thank you. Go easy on the checks. Producers. Don't teach her that. Oh, God. All right. Here's a real contrarian, all-time great caller. Not bad, because we like to joust back and forth. Joe in National Park, captain of the Democrat Party on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, what do you have?
Hey, Dominic, how you doing?
Good, Joe. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Yeah, I went to Catholic school. I went to St. James, Pensgrove, New Jersey. And we used to have to do the cursive thing. And my cursive was always... it was called either hieroglyphics or chicken scratch. So that's how my cursive was described. And I had never as soon as I got out of Catholic school, I stopped writing in cursive and I just printed everything. And I had to take a test where I actually had to write a paragraph in cursive just to, so it could be verified that I was the one that took the test. That was monumentally difficult.
I can't imagine we're living in America. Are we a third world country? My God.
Oh. Because I hadn't written in cursive for so long, but I'm in a camp that says, is it necessary? I write in print, but
Joe, just thinking, you're getting
objective.
Am I wrong? You're getting a letter from someone, and it's printed. It's something heartfelt, something a loss. Right. Someone died, and in cursive versus in print. I'm just looking at something in print. It's like a kidnapping note. You don't want to be known. See, cursive is distinctive. Dan, can we put my cursive on YouTube?
Give me magazines, I'll make a ransom note, and that's all right, right? Like, I don't need cursive. It's an outdated technology at this point.
Hey, look, in a side note, Ronald Reagan was he wrote a staggering amount of personal letters, which is a great thing.
Right.
Because just for posterity. But he wrote a staggering, I don't know the exact total, but he wrote a staggering amount of handwritten personal letters in his lifetime. I don't know how many presidents wrote that much, but it's just a great thing just for history and for posterity that he wrote so much.
Yeah, it's a shame we're raising generations that wouldn't be able to read it. Who's this guy? What's he talking about?
They should have been writing without cursive. Easier to read anyway.
Oh, goodness.
Don't need your E's to look like L's.
All right, 855-839-1210.
Pastor Devlin chiming in, Dom. Says, cursive haters are a sign of the increase of laziness within our American culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of, yes. I was going to say, he said you're going to hell, too. But, that's just a side. It's going to be, after, all right, writing cursive. Do you have any cash in your pocket? No, you're out. That's it. Ah, goodness. 855. I'm just amazed, though. You know, Dan, is there anything you're amazed at that kids today do or don't do? Say the gap is maybe 20 years, 25 years. Anything?
No? Sleepovers. They don't have enough sleepovers.
Oh, that's right. They don't do enough sleepovers. Yeah, Vivek Ramaswamy's working on that.
We need more sleepovers in this younger generation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean that in like face-to-face, right. Casual hanging out between kids rather than the stupid sitting in other rooms playing the same dang video game and communicating on a headset while you're in the same physical location but not being in the same room. It makes no sense to me, this young
generation. Well, we're all going to be math Olympiades. That's what Vivek says, yeah. I'm still in a hangover from over the holidays, going after him on that. All right, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. Scott Presler, I bet he writes in cursive. He's going to be here at 2 with big updates on a lot of stuff. All that on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. Man, on Twitter, people all over the place. One woman saying, yeah, writing in cursive. What's next, Dom? You're going to say bring Latin back to the schools? No, there was never any reason for Latin. That was ridiculous. But cursive, not even thinking like, what are you talking about when this comes up? It's not an ancient skill, but apparently it is so much. National Archives are looking for people that could read cursive, then transcribe what they read from all these diaries and historical things.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a volunteer position.
It's volunteer?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But apparently because they can't find enough people.
Well, because they're not paying anybody.
Well, no, they're saying because, you know, these people that usually volunteer to help them can't read cursive. Let's go to Maureen in Wynwood on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Maureen.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for this conversation. I think it's great. Thanks. Hi, everybody else. Yeah, so I was telling the screener that I never learned how to print. When I got into first grade, I didn't go to kindergarten. There wasn't one. And then I learned cursive from first grade, the Palmer method, like all the other Catholic school kids.
Yes. So you can't print, though. And, okay.
Yeah, and I can't print. I mix capital and small letters. When I try to print, I forget which one is which. So
really?
No, yeah.
I don't buy it. Like, so you can't just write with normal handwriting? You have to connect all your letters and use cursive?
Well, no, I know how to print now, but I mix the letters. And a small E is harder to write than a capital E.
It is.
Because of the arthritis in my fingers.
Sure.
So do you think you'd be able to? You think you'd ever learn how to actually write had you not learned cursive then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but I mean I don't mind. I remember when my kids were younger, I'd leave them a note and I'd write it out, and they'd be real angry when I got home because they said, "Well, we couldn't read it; it was written in script."
I can't understand that. I can't understand. My mind can't wrap around it. You can't read this. It's just mind-boggling.
No, I agree.
Yes, thank you, Maureen. It's just that's why talk radio is great. There are things that are out there that are never coalesced together.
I can get it. It's like almost like a different language at that point.
I get it.
It's like, just, I don't know, maybe this is a stretch too far, but like reading Latin and be like, oh, I recognize some of those prefixes and suffixes, but you don't really know what the words mean.
Right.
Latin's used the same letters.
Yeah, I think Latin is extreme.
I said it was a stretch.
Yeah, come up with another analogy. By the way, in the next hour,
are completely different,
so. Dan's a little under the weather, but we'll pick this up tomorrow again with you. I just saw this. We got to get these people on. A pizzeria in Norwich, Norfolk, has made the cost of one standard Hawaiian pizza $125 in order to show their displeasure with people putting pineapples on pizza.
Why even have...
No, I think they're making a statement that I want to go to that place because like they're not statement. Standing for this. Pineapples, get the hell out. Well, I really want pineapples. Just, throw them out. It's an excellent.
If you don't want people to order them, then just don't have it on your menu.
Yeah. Like...
No, it's sending a message to pizza simple. Connoisseurs. They're not going to give in on this.
You're just going to get like the anti-establishment people calling.
I feel like people
like,
are
I
now,
want 20 of those
people
pizzas
are now going to be driven to go to that restaurant to get that as Henry's saying, that $120 Hawaiian pizza.
Might be smart for a minute.
Are you going to pay $125 for an Hawaiian pizza? All right, that's 2 o'clock. But let's go to, I think Donna's going to read the Riot Act here in Maryland. Hey, Donna, good afternoon.
Hi, everyone. Hey, I had to teach my kids to write cursive, and we did it over summertime every summer. The importance of learning to read and write script is because the Constitution of the United States is written in cursive. It's the most important document other than the Bible, and it's imperative for the continuation of our country and the freedoms we have to learn how to read and write script.
All right, okay. Donna, you're a witness here, Henry and Dan. What do you say to that declaration?
Well, my thing is, like, we don't force kids to learn Sanskrit so they can read old, you know, ancient documents. Once we translated it out of Sanskrit, we just kind of, you know, forgot about it.
Well, but you're not translating. It's in English.
Yeah,
but declaration.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, you just teach the kids what it says, but they don't have to read exactly the loops and the poles of cursive.
All right, Donna, it's a long war. Good point that you made.
I go with the laziness. And then it also is supposed to help with the left brain, right brain, creativity. I can't remember.
Yes, that's been proven.
Well, it clearly doesn't help if you can't remember, right?
All right. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk with Scott Presler, but we'll take more calls after that. I hosted him along with Mike Donahue and Eustace over at the and Robin, the Wales guy over at the Icona on Saturday. Mesmerizing, this guy. Even Rose saw him. He was coming in late, had to brush the hair as he's running to the thing. And nice suit on, but he's got some information. He's got some updates. And what are people across Jersey telling Scott Presler is the issue or issues that they're passionate about? He's next. Keep the calls coming. I'll tell you about this pizza place, though. $125 to get this pizza. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.